Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It's a Pete Townshend party.
Yeah, this was a great choice. I don't, just going off vibe and feel alone. It's what we needed.
Some mornings I wake up and I know right away what song I'm going to begin the program with. And then there are days like today when we have about a minute and a half left in the commercial break and I go, it feels like a Pete Townshend Let My Love Open the Door kind of day today.
What do I need to know about Pete Townshend?
Okay, so.
What don't I know? Which is everything.
He's a very interesting man. Bisexual.
Hell yeah.
Exactly. Basically came out with a song called Rough Boys on his solo career where it's like, I want to hug and kiss you. Like, it's very...
He's not the guy from The Who.
He is the guy from The
he
Who.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay, that's essentially what I wanted to ask without having to ask.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He smashes the guitar. Yeah, yeah.
And then he does... I guess there's a little Who in here.
A little bit. And the most notable thing about him is that he got into a legal situation where he claims that he was researching pedophilia on the internet.
Oh, that old gag.
Yeah. This may be even pre-internet or early days of the internet.
The old, either that or erotic art. Am I right?
Okay, well, I don't know why Pee Wee Herman has to catch strays.
I didn't even remember that.
Well, he's literally the only celebrity ever that passed off as erotic art. But yeah, Townshend got in trouble because I think they found images on his computer, or maybe it was the early days of the internet where they traced his IP address and he claimed that he was just doing some pedophilia.
You want to know what's crazy when you think about it? Over the past however many years, through Pizzagate and like all the Wayfair stuff and like just the over the top intrigue with pedophiles, like what if the pedophiles in power decided to go after all the people that were looking up stuff on pedophiles, and there was just a mass rounding up of the people who thought they were on the good side. That sounds like a good movie, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, like the pedophile hunters were framed in a way that they were actually the pedophiles because of the elite pedophile ring.
But the elite pedophiles were like, we got to stop these pedophile hunters. Let's make it look like they're just looking up pedophile stuff all the time.
Ooh.
That's good. What was the movie called that was supposedly based on a true story that everybody, it became a right-wing thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
The sex trafficking movie? Either way, this is going to be the sequel to that.
Taken had a little bit of sex trafficking, but it wasn't pedophiles. It was just American girls. Remember Liam Neeson's daughter was on tour?
Yeah.
She was that was a good film.
That was before... That was before, like, sex trafficking was cool.
Yeah, now it's so cool.
Sound of Freedom, by the way.
That's right.
Sound of Freedom 2.
Oh, yeah.
When Freedom Comes for You. That's pretty good.
That's great. My partner over there is John Senning.
He's Drew Garabo.
Together with Drew Garabo Live.
Somebody told me.
Together with Drew Garabo Live.
With John Senning.
Thank you. Somebody told you what? That you had
that
a girlfriend?
That Liam Neeson has a new show coming out with... Sorry, my Twitter, my search fingers were going quicker than my...
Who is he? Oh, he's in that new, the Naked Gun reboot.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Frank Drebin part.
I keep forgetting about that. I mean, we have to give him a chance, right?
I didn't give John Hamm a chance as Fletch, so I don't plan on giving Liam Neeson a chance.
I don't think anybody did.
No.
Like, that's such a movie that a cult classic, whatever. I just know that so many people love it. And that movie came out and never heard a word about it.
No.
Not a word.
Chevy Chase is literally the only actor who will be Fletch. Like you could do something similar and call it something different, but for those of my generation, we will never, ever accept anyone else other than Chevy as Fletch.
What I think, because it is, I don't know if you find this offensive, it is a cult classic.
Oh, no, not offensive
so I
at
think
all.
When you've got the cult part of it,
yeah,
like people are just more protective of it.
Yeah,
like
very.
If it's a widespread, undeniable blockbuster hit, then everybody will just clamor to it because they're excited it's back. But when certain people just loved it more than others,
yeah,
they want it the way that they want it.
Cult classics was my favorite section right after horror in the old video stores, like College Park Video right outside Orlando where I used to go. They had a cult classic section, and I found so many films that way because you don't remember it, but there was a movie in the 80s called Amazon Women on the Moon.
Wait, maybe I might. Is the poster for it a bunch of women on the moon with
yeah.
snakes around their necks?
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds. I mean, I don't know anything about it other than that, but I know that it was a thing.
It was a bunch of different sketches, kind of like a Kentucky Fried Movie. It might have been done by the same dudes who did Airplane, the Zucker, Abram Zucker people. Might have been, but I might be absolutely wrong on that. Fletch, Caddyshack. Back to School. These are all, like, you couldn't do Back to School and put anybody in that Rodney role. No, Rodney Dangerfield is one of one.
That's a good point. Like, certain characters just can't ever be anybody else because I think at some point you just look like you're trying to be that person.
Yeah, and there's really nobody that even looks or sounds like Rodney.
And even from a comedic timing and style with this whole renaissance of comedy, like, there's nobody out there doing anything like or near what Rodney Dangerfield mm-hmm. did.
No, he was just one of one, man. And he didn't get into comedy, I believe, until his 40s. He was a door-to-door salesman and then decided to try comedy. God, what a brilliant man he was.
By the way, I lied about the show. It is Nicole Kidman, but it's not Liam Neeson. It's Liev Schreiber. It's
Same
a new
thing.
Show between the two of them that actually looks interesting called The Perfect Couple.
What was the show? God, there are so many forgotten shows, John. With Michael Shannon and Nicole Kidman, and they were all out in some retreat
Seven
somewhere.
Perfect Strangers?
Yeah, I think so.
Seven Perfect Strangers, Eight Perfect Strangers,
something like that.
And it was like a hallucinogenic retreat.
Yep,
that was really good, and that had a Fantastic. Hell of a. That had a hell of a cast, too.
Yep. And then there was the one that she did, the Pretty Little Liars.
That was so this one is made by the same people that did that.
Oh.
This The Perfect Couple. It says they're the perfect couple. One of their adult children gets married, and then during the wedding, a body washes up on shore at the resort. Like, that's the kickoff for the show.
Okay.
It's coming to Netflix in September.
Is it true that Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway are going to be in White Lotus? That seems like one of those things that, like, is a rumor because – That just seems too good to be true. For those two to be married to each other on a television program, God, that's a dream come true. They're such beautiful people.
Let me beautiful see. I see that it's in a Reddit thread, but I'm not seeing anything official. Cast for the new season. Some brand new cast members.
Okay.
Leslie Bibb. I don't know a lot of these names.
Man, I don't know that name at all.
I don't know any of these names, actually. Oh, well. Didn't we hear some other weird... Flavor Flav, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think these are all rumors that get floated out there.
That's the thing. It's like when you have a show that is so crazy and just does such bizarre casting, I feel like you can just say that and people will believe it.
Yeah.
It does make me appreciate the last season more now having watched a chunk of Sopranos. Because what's his name?
Christopher. Michael Imperioli.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I would have appreciated him more had I seen Sopranos already.
I can't believe I forgot to tell you about this till just now, and I'm so glad you said that. I read a big article yesterday on The Sopranos that made the point that The Sopranos should be considered a comedy.
And really?
You made that exact point.
Really?
Yeah. I guess there's a movement of people saying, this show is not a drama. This show is a comedy.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That is super interesting, only because I had never really heard anybody saying that.
Me either.
But it's just the way that I watched it, And I guess it's like we've said a million times, when you compare it to other shows that are discussed in the same breath, The Wires, The Breaking Bads, like there's something completely different about The Sopranos and the way that it is, you know, that it hits you.
Yeah. The Wire has funny moments, which you forget about until you rewatch it. Like when they pick up on Method Man as cheese in the dog fighting. Did you ever watch that part?
What season are we talking?
Two or three?
I never made it to three.
So there's a dog fighting ring, and they are trying to find a gun that was used. It was a cop's gun that he lost that was used in a murder. So they have surveillance on Method Man as cheese, and he puts his pit bull into a dog fight, and the dog loses. So he had to shoot his dog. So they have him on tape, and he's like, "That was my dog, man, and I had to shoot him." And they're listening, thinking that he's talking about shooting a person. and it sounds like he's talking about a person. So they bring him in, and they're like, "We know that you killed somebody." Da, da, da. And he just looks at him, and he's like, "That's my dog." But then that's how they figure out that they got a wire on him. And so there are funny moments, but as a general rule, the show's not funny.
Well, and with Sopranos, at least in the beginning, I can see it fading, and I think we're still. I guess we finished the first season. That's where we are right now. But, like, especially early on, it's borderline slapstick.
Yep.
Like, when they, like, chase that guy down and he's, like, beating him up, it feels like I'm watching – it could be a scene from Naked Gun, honestly.
Yeah, I know. The professor.
Why did they ever do a did they do, like, a Naked Gun scary movie version of mob movies?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Mobsters –
is that I'm going to get you, sucker, maybe?
No, that was more of a pimp blaxploitation thing. There has to be an airplane version of... Married to the Mob, I don't think was that much of a slapstick comedy. Mobsters with Christian Slater, I don't think was that much of a comedy.
Oh, this one, which I don't even know
My Cousin Vinny?
Oh, dude.
What?
Talk about bringing the worlds together. From 1998, The Godson, a parody film starring...
Michael Imperioli.
No, I'm looking at this damn face. Oh, Rodney Dangerfield and Dom DeLuise.
I love Dom DeLuise so
much. The Godson. And also another one called Mafia from 1998 as well.
There was something
Lloyd Bridges.
So great about the chemistry between Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise in Cannonball Run. God, it was I so wish you could have been alive during that era yet maintained the same age that you are right now, because there were just so many movies from back then that I think had you been a teenager, you would have loved them. Just Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, for crying out loud. You love Airplane, and that's one of the ones I grew up with. The original Vacation, Fletch.
They don't make them like they used to.
Sure,
that is
John.
An undeniable truth, is they that sure movies don't. Just don't have, specifically when it comes to comedy, I think that like the soul is no longer there. Like they try, and things might make you laugh, but just the soul of comedy is in film, I think, is dead.
I agree. Couple of things. Number one, you can follow us on the social media. He's the John Senning. I'm at Drew Garabo. Most places at Drew on the Radio on Twitter. Number two, watch us on Bone TV. If you go to theboneonline.com or the app, you can watch us, and we'll wave to you and stuff. Number three, my man John Senning over there will be filling in for Mike Calta this Thursday and Friday, and I would love it if you would wake up a little bit early and like I'm going to do, although I'm usually up at that time anyway.
You've been up for hours by then.
Good Lord. And check out John as he hosts with St. Pete, Sam, and Gio. That is a very interesting ensemble cast you've assembled.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Those are two people that I love as humans, and I'm also fans of what they do on the radio and in life. So I think it's a little something different, and I'm really excited about it, and I appreciate everybody for the kind words already, and you, of course, for supporting me in any and all ventures.
Hell yeah.
And Mike Calta for letting me fill in for a show.
It's pretty awesome. There is a thank you to Troy, who reminded me, and you'll love this one because Michael Keaton's in it, a film called Johnny Dangerously.
Oh, that was all I don't think I've ever seen it. That's one of those movies that, like, when I picture the cover, I picture it sitting on the shelf at a video rental store.
Yeah. Yeah, yellow box. Yeah. And I watched that and Bachelor Party when I was too young to really appreciate them. And I just remember from Johnny Dangerously, there was a character who spoke weird, and he would go, "You fargin' ice hole." And I think he said, "You fargin' bastages." And I don't know how that movie would.
This looks fun.
Bachelor Party.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the. I mean, it's got a woman's leg and a bunch of people.
That's
and Tawny Kitaen and Tom Hanks.
Yep.
And
Adrian Zmed.
They did a Bachelor Party. Oh God, this looks like it was not that long ago.
Oh no, a newer Bachelor Party 2. Oh gross.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that. Did you have? Or can you think of, because like growing up, we obviously had the video stores, mm-hmm. but also like the corner store might rent videos. Was
sure.
that a thing in Florida as well? Like yep. the place you went to get your Sody Pops and your whatever else might also have a small little video rental section?
Some, far more. And I think you guys had those up in Michigan. Far more, P-H-A-R more. You could rent videos there. And it was just like a drugstore, a big drugstore. My mom would get candy to go to the movie theater.
Dude, I can't believe I've never asked this question before.
Go on.
And I'm fascinated with the answer.
Yes.
Did Publix ever rent movies? Like have a movie store, because Kroger and Meijer, those were our two grocery stores. They both had video stores in them, like full blown attached at the front, walk in rental air, like full movie rental areas.
I want to say Winn-Dixie might have, or Eckerd Drugs might have. I would bet dollars to donuts that Publix never did.
Man, that's interesting, because they've been around forever, right? Like they lived through the VHS era.
Yeah, they did. I think Winn-Dixie did, but I don't believe Publix ever did. Here's another question. Did Publix ever allow smoking in their supermarkets?
Oh, man. Could you
You could smoke in Winn-Dixie.
Could you? So you could, man.
I know.
It is so bizarre.
Dude.
Like nothing else happened not that long ago
right.
that feels like it might as well have been medieval times.
I know.
Like the idea of smoking inside an Applebee's, for example, is like it's hard to believe. Like being in an office, like people here would be sitting at their desk smoking. So if I'm correct, everywhere you went in the 60s, 70s, and 80s and most of the 90s, everywhere always smelled like cigarettes.
Everywhere.
And did nobody know it? Did everybody have a nicotine addiction? Like, how was it so prevalent and people just...
That's a good question.
And I realize some people think it's the pussification of America that you can't do it anymore, but it is just shocking. You're in the grocery store.
My mom just burning heaters right in the produce section.
That was the main area I was thinking about. So I'm thinking about the little rainforest feature in the produce section.
No, they would blow cigarette smoke instead. Like instead of saturating your asparagus with like mist, they would blow smoke
on
it.
I envision a lady leaning over to get some fresh peppers or maybe some parsley with her head in the whole unit and just... Yeah. And just smoke billowing out.
Yeah.
Or you go into the freezer section with your cigarette in your mouth, and then you shut it, and the cigarette smoke stays inside the freezer.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next time you go to open it up for your pizza rolls, the smoke would come billowing out. It was difficult for me to ascertain because my parents both smoked like chimneys, so I always smelled smoke anyway. Like it just, you know, so for me, every place smelled like smoke because my parents were always smoking.
I don't believe my mom ever smoked inside. She smoked for a good chunk of our childhood, but she always smoked outside. And then later in life, we had a running joke that wasn't really a running joke. We had the white trash smoking shanty, which my dad started smoking cigars later in life when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So it would be freezing outside. So they actually made this plastic little structure right outside of the house in the garage that had a little heater in it where they would go and smoke.
I'll tell you what, awesome. I would be in heaven if my parents went outside to smoke.
Yeah,
oh my God. We had to go outside to not smell smoke.
You had to make your own shanty outside just to get some fresh air.
Yeah, my sister and I are like, we're going to take a smoke break. It's a break from all the smoke. Dude, I'm telling you, and I love my mom and dad. You know that. Mom and dad, I love you.
It was a different time. They didn't know.
Both.
Nobody knew.
But like rain, like pouring rain, like right now, if they were driving, windows all the way up, just clouds of smoke inside the Mercury Zephyr.
I'm almost talking from a scientific medical perspective. How do you not become addicted to cigarettes as a young child?
It had the opposite effect for me. I never wanted to smoke.
No, I'm talking about more from like the chemical that is nicotine being ingested in your body time and time again. Like how at some point, like were you not like, damn, I really wish mom would fire up right about now.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because nicotine is one of the most, if not the most, addictive chemical out there. I don't know. I never, I guess I dipped early.
Oh, like, maybe that's how you were getting your fix.
Yeah, eighth, ninth grade. But then just like the nicotine buzz just made me go, ugh. And then in ninth grade, I was like, I got to try Tisa. So what I I took my DeLorean and I went 88 miles per hour into the future, met Dr. Brent Agin. He invented Tisa and I brought it back to 1984.
I remember you showing me some pictures of you sitting in the samurai, Tisa puck in your hand. Man, those were the days.
Got to get back in time. Why are so many people calling? Or do you think they're calling?
I would imagine it's smoking in Publix. It's video stores in Publix. It's movies. It's
mobster movies.
When we you know, set a table that's so delicious, people want to eat.
Man, they sure do. Let's serve up a bountiful buffet. Hello, who are you?
Adrian.
Hi, Adrian. How you doing
today,
man?
Yo.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that before.
Oh, don't be a smartass.
Well, way to be a dick, dude. Way
I mean, get... it was just a funny joke. Yeah. I was just keeping it light. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't. I mean,
way to get yourself thrown out.
It was low hanging fruit. But
it
I
was,
mean,
but
like, I mean, his name was Adrian.
Yeah, we thought we would have a little fun with you.
Yeah.
Hello, Drew Grabo live with John Senning. Who are you?
Never done it before. Hey, Drew. John.
What's your name?
I'm gonna make fun of Carl.
Carl, that's a little Walking Dead. Oh, by the way, Birdie never has watched The Walking Dead, and I was thinking about rewatching.
Oh, I would love to hear your review this second time around, only because I've shared with you in the past that at my peak of in-your-face fandom, you were watching Walking Dead. You were very, very into Walking Dead, and you had quit smoking weed.
Wow. Oh, what a time to be alive.
It really was.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
For how long?
I don't remember. I just remember you talking about like how much better you felt and that you were like super clear-headed and and that
you'd
done
it. The 2 weeks of my life.
It had to be longer than 2 weeks.
No,
right?
It was. Yeah, I think I made it like months, if not a year.
Yeah, those are, when I was listening every day, those are two things I remember vividly.
I totally forgot that second part. Anyway, Carl, what's up?
Carl. Hey, so a slapstick somewhat mob movie, Corky Romano.
Like the dude from Saturday Night Live, Chris Kattan, Corky Romano?
Yeah, he was the son of a mobster.
I mean, Corky Romano. Yeah, Chris Kattan, man. Talk about just a star that burned bright and quick. I think you can almost trace it back to the moment he almost fought Spanish as that being the beginning of the end of his career.
I believe that was the decline, and I think he'll be appearing on the show with Shark and Spanish. Oh, I'm sorry, Anthony.
How great would that be?
Dude, sad
healing old wounds.
Oh, that'd be great.
With Chris Kattan.
Hello, Drew Grabo live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, it's Keith. What's up, bud?
Hi, Keith. Wish I knew something to make fun of your name, but I won't.
I'll wait. Okay. You brought up the great Dom DeLuise.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you remember a movie called
Hot Stuff?
Hot Stuff, yeah.
Where he did a pawn shop. Yeah, yeah. That was one of those early 1980s home box office classics with Dom DeLuise that I just couldn't stop watching. He was genius.
Absolutely, and all I can at this, you know, this long later, all I can remember is the scene when the old lady brought in the weed.
Yeah.
And Dom DeLuise just laughing. His laugh was so great. It was amazing.
Do you remember the Chevy Chase movie, since you seem to be an older dude like me? Do you remember the Chevy Chase film Modern Problems, where he was an air traffic controller and he sniffed some sort of voodoo powder that made him go crazy? Yeah, it was an insane movie.
Yeah, it was. I do remember the movie. I don't remember much about it.
Good.
That was the time when I was experimenting a lot. So I watched a lot of movies. Don't
sexually?
Yeah, a lot of dudes. Yeah, he was.
No.
Yeah, just like
gobbling.
A dude in every orifice. You couldn't see, couldn't hear, couldn't breathe.
Yeah, just no room for movies when you're ingesting that much man meat. Am I right, Keith?
I feel you, Keith.
Yep.
Stay strong, brother.
So, guys.
Yeah, you're the best.
Hey, Chris Kattan, you just brought him up.
Chris Kattan. It's like Shaka Khan. Chris Kattan.
I just saw him on one of those bad cooking shows called, like, Is This Cake or Something? He is.
You think the show's called Is This Cake or Something?
Well, I think it's just called
Is This Cake? Is This Cake or Something?
Is It Cake? Is That Cake? You know the show, right?
Uh-uh.
Is This Cake? Yeah, they bring out an item, like legit, they could bring out this water bottle right here and set it right here in front of you, and then you have to guess, is this cake?
Oh, that's genius.
And then you guess, and then they take a knife, and either it cuts through it like it's cake or it doesn't.
Dude, that's brilliant, because people are such cake artists that they make these things look like, I mean, I'm sure our good friend over at Alessi would be able to participate in that.
Put it up on Bone TV, if you will.
We don't, John, we don't have a Bone TV person.
Oh,
Melissa at
Melissa Alessi. Melissa, put it up on Bone TV.
No, Melissa's
Melissa,
at Alessi.
Come on. I mean,
no, Melissa is the baker at Alessi. We don't have a Bone TV person.
Oh, did you see that Wright's deli sold to somebody else?
Yeah, and
that was interesting.
Yeah, and they've kind of been in limbo. I don't think they're open right now. I drove by there and it looked vacant.
Is that the wait? I get them mixed up. Is that the place I picked up? No, Alessi's the place I picked up the cake that I brought. Wait,
yes,
right?
Yes, but Sarah, remember Sarah? Kind
of. Oh no, I do remember there being a bit of a kerfuffle there with the cake place, but I wasn't sure the name of the. Dude, the universe does not want the proper person to get the cred for this cake that was beautiful that was made for you.
That was Melissa. She
Melissa from Alessi.
Yes.
All right, and then that also happens to be the name of the lady who's running Bone TV now.
Well, we don't actually have anyone running Bone TV.
But Melissa is looking at taking the position within Bone TV.
Yes, she is the leading applicant right now.
Thank you, Melissa. We need the help.
We don't have anybody on Bone TV. Real quick before we go to break, RIP Tenacious D.
I don't know enough about them to know that this is just crazy. And I know Jack Black has been out there stumping for Biden. Mm. But, like, what happened to you don't always have to hard? And, you know the song?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
All I know is their song Tribute.
Oh, they
the
had
song the- is the greatest song that does
oh,
ever
dude,
been.
We're going to have to listen to this song during the commercial break. Dude, it's legitimately funny. It's legitimately funny.
What's it called?
It's terribly graphic.
Okay, so we can't play it.
No, we can't. We can't.
Is it Baby One More Time?
No.
Is it? It's not Tribute. I know that one.
Wait, what is that?
What, Tribute?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that's not. Oh, no, F Her Gently is the name of the song.
Oh, F Her Gently, yeah. Whatever. Remember Dennis Leary's song, Because I'm an Asshole?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He had the phenomenon of comedians having successful songs in the 90s was a thing.
Yeah, what was In a Gentle Way? What didn't he have that other song, In a Gentle Way?
Like, I don't know if you're thinking about At a Medium Pace, which was Adam Sandler.
Thank you. That is exactly what I was trying to think of. Yeah, where he takes a toothbrush and...
Yeah, or tooth... take that shampoo bottle and stick it up my...
That was it.
Yeah.
But anyway...
All I was getting at was that I thought they were just fun and light and they made funny music and... That was kind of their thing, which I guess you don't have to not have an opinion, but sure have come a long way.
Yeah, and one errant comment in the wake of an assassination attempt, I don't know that it canceled them. It's just I would assume that bookers of shows and theater managers receive death threats and whatnot, and they're like, well, guess you guys are going to be heading back to the U.S. right now and probably never making music again.
Well, and I really also wonder how mortified Jack Black was. Like, I don't know whose opinion is what, but it was the other guy that said it. And if you didn't hear it, it was his birthday. I need to look at this guy's name, but it was his birthday.
Kyle Gass.
And I have it right here.
Trump next time.
And so since then, Jack Black has released a statement. I was blindsided by what was said at the show. I would never condone hate speech or encourage political violence in any form. After much reflection, I no longer feel it is appropriate to continue the Tenacious D tour. And this is the interesting line. All future creative plans are on hold. I am grateful to the fans for their support and understanding. I mean, I wonder if it's Jack Black just being like, dude, I can't be associated with you for a while. Because he's so much bigger than the other guy.
Yeah.
Like, to let the other guy mess up what could be your movie roles, your TV gigs, the band, everything. Like, I imagine you're kind of like, I don't want to be with this guy right now.
They got to be done because Jack Black was doing a favor to Kyle Gass by staying in that band.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, no one knows Kyle Gass without Jack Black anymore. Right. So... when it becomes more of a liability than it does a profitable venture, I would imagine that's why you probably say goodbye to Tenacious D, which not like that's a huge loss to the music world, but...
What kind of venues?
If they were to come here, they would probably play Ruth Eckerd.
You think?
Yeah.
Not
the amp? No way.
Smelling like delicious mashed potatoes and gravy. You smell that?
Yeah.
It almost smells like Thanksgiving dinner.
Is there a Thanksgiving in July? Boy, you know how they do Christmas in July? They ought to do Thanksgiving in June.
Oh. Well, we can do Thanksgiving in July, because if not, we'd have to wait all the way till June. I guess we'd have that one in November, too, but it wouldn't be the same.
All right. Hang tight. We're going to come back, and we talk about wildlife a lot, especially wildlife indigenous to Florida. We love sharks. We love alligators. We love panthers. When the media, and I exclude us from that, uses a term like alligator attack, I slightly have a problem with it, because you enter their realm.
Well, if we're just workshopping words, just so that we are going to report on it, or the news is, like, what's the word?
Encounter. An alligator encounter.
But that doesn't do that. What if you just said, like, alligator eats lunch, happens to be human?
Sad that Shannon Doherty's dead. Now she joins Luke Perry in the peach pit in the sky.
Dude, did you see that heartbreaking story that was supposedly an interview with her doctor that was, I don't even know why you say that. It was like she wasn't ready to go. It was heart-wrenching. It's like, well, I mean, she's 53 years old. Of course she wasn't ready to go.
Yeah, I had the same reaction you did. Like, why even release that? Why even say that? Yeah. Who's ready to go at 53?
Yeah, it's terrible, and it makes an already sad thing even sadder.
But there is something interesting in the fallout from Shannon's death.
So the 90210 star who tragically passed away on Saturday, she opened up back in January about her funeral and burial arrangements while on a podcast, the Let's Be Clear podcast. First little tidbit, interesting as well. I want my remains to be mixed with my dog, and I want it to be mixed with my dad. I do not want to be buried and not cremated. Wait. That doesn't make sense. She wants to be cremated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that she wanted some of her remains also to be mixed with fertilizer and then put to grow a tree, which I always thought was the way to do it. Like, they sell those things where you put it, like, in a little urn, and then you plant it, and then, you're a tree. Like, cool. People can come visit your tree, and then, like, you're a living, breathing thing.
Sure.
But in the same podcast episode, the actress opened up about who she does not want at her funeral, explaining that she wants it to be a more private affair. There's a lot of people that I think that would show up that I don't want there. I don't want them there because their reasons for showing up aren't necessarily the best reasons. Is it okay or not okay to ban people from your funeral?
This is a tough one, because who's the funeral for? Like who is it? Is it for the dead person? Because the dead person doesn't know who's there.
I mean, it is.
Okay.
It is. But also, they are dead. They are dead, and they're not going to be able to, like, necessarily be bothered by it or do anything about it or anything like that. She said they'll show up because it's the politically correct thing to do, and they don't want to look bad. So I kind of want to take the pressure off them, and I want my funeral to be a love fest.
I think anyone who wants to pay their last respects for whatever reason should. I think it's somewhat cruel from beyond the grave to prohibit people from, like, what an awkward moment. I'm sorry. Shannon requested that you not be able to say goodbye to her?
Well, I'm not super familiar with how funerals work always, but it's not an open door policy, is it?
No.
So I mean, you know, your wishes are your wishes. And then, I mean, as far as just them being followed, and I mean, if you know people that haven't liked you or you've had falling out with your entire life and they didn't really seem to love you while you were alive, why are you going to let them be a part of a day that should be about nothing more than people showing how much they loved you?
It's a fair question. I somewhat believe that no matter what the reason is, if someone wishes to pay their last respect, They should be allowed to.
Even if it's for their own, like their own gain, and it's not really having anything to do with you, it's just to not look bad. Like, you've got people in your life that you know things that, that things are troubled or whatever. Do you want them, like, do you want them at your funeral?
Yeah, if they want to be there. Like if they feel like they can get some sort of closure. Well,
you're also putting that, you're saying that's the only reason people would go. Like, you're taking out the possibility that the person doesn't actually really care, isn't worried about closure, and only wants to be able to say that they were at your funeral because they did the right thing.
Oh, man. I mean, it they've got to wrestle with that. Like if you would come to my funeral just to say that you were there and it makes you feel like the right thing.
That's the world we live in. Like, when famous people die and everybody rush to post pictures with them and things like that, isn't it the same type vibe? It's not, hey, let's all mourn this together. It's, oh, look at me. Look at me. I know this person. I met this person. I'm sad today.
I guess I look at it as, if I couldn't bring you joy in life and my death can bring you some sort of joy.
That's pretty messed up.
Then so be it. Like if it makes you feel better saying goodbye to me or being there at my funeral, awesome. I made you feel good in some way. Even if it's through my death.
Yeah, even if it never happened when I was alive.
727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025.
And the thing is, this is a famous person. So,
right.
You know, this is a very unique situation where maybe people in Hollywood, maybe people she worked with that had troubles, relationships, that thing. I think the real question is when you start looking at the real world application. Okay, Debbie died and her sister was a wretched bitch to her entire life, you know, was mean to her, hated her. They couldn't get together, but she wants to be front and center crying her eyes out when she dies. And saying, hey, I don't want Debbie at my funeral when I die. And things like, I think as a famous person or as a figure of note, it feels one way because there's going to be this mass outpouring of love. I think applying it to the real world in family dynamics or work or whatever it may be, I think that's where maybe it becomes a little more understandable or palatable.
727-579-1025. Drew Grubbo live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, this is Taylor.
Taylor, is it okay or not okay to ban people from your funeral?
I think it's totally okay. If you've got people that are there to celebrate your life and there is a negative person that is going to come into that and ruin that love fest like she was talking about,
yeah,
I don't want that there. I don't want that to ruin. I don't want that to be the last memory of people gathering about me. And with regards to her, I believe that was in reference to her ex-husband,
yeah,
who made her sign the papers the day she died.
I did see
that. Yeah, me too. Yeah. And that is a lousy human being.
I mean,
right,
that's
there.
That's just
that's really, on another level.
That's really messed up.
Isn't it up to your surviving friends then to be like, hey, listen, man, Shannon wouldn't have wanted you here.
Well, I mean, what's the point of having final wishes if they're not going to be respected?
That's true.
I mean, I think if you're dying, you get to say how you want that to go. I mean, we talk about we just did it a couple weeks ago about the funeral, about the idea of making it fun and the celebration of life. And that's what she goes on to say. I want it to be a love fest. I want it to be people that actually loved me. And if you know in your heart that person, or you feel, even if you feel in your heart that person doesn't actually love you and you don't want them to be privy to that moment or that day with the people that you know did, I think that you're well within your rights to say, keep that bitch away.
You might be right. I know Shannon rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah, she was kind of she was like known for being
difficult.
Rough. Yeah,
she could be difficult. And I had a great interview with her back in Orlando. I thought she.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it exist?
I don't think so. No, it's one of those I can't find it anywhere. She was great. She was funny, charming, intelligent, and now dead.
What was she doing? Do you know? Like, what was she?
It was a project. She did like a. I think it had some like sexy scenes in it too.
Ooh.
It's like a movie, like almost a made-for-TV movie. Oh, she was like, a secretary.
Ooh.
Hold on, sexy movie. Drew Grubbo live with John Senning. Blindfold, Acts of Obsession.
Oh, Oh, that sounds like a Skinamax film.
Oh, it totally was. Wow, I can't believe I just remembered
that. Dude, that is such a thing that happened in the well, that was probably a little bit later, right? I was going to say 90s, but it reminds me of Alyssa Milano doing Poison Ivy.
Yes.
It's like same category, level of fame, everything about it. It's like, things are probably winding down, so let me do some softcore.
There we go. Following advice from her therapist, a young woman and her husband try to spice up their flagging marriage by taking part in some kinky bondage games.
Oh, man, that's fun.
Yeah, she was sexy in it.
Dude.
Yes.
Totally off topic, but I have to tell you real quick. We watched a movie on Sunday called Unforgivable with John Ritter. Have you ever heard of this movie?
Uh-uh.
Dude, it was from like 1996, and John Ritter plays like a psychopath husband that like constantly beats his wife, and then he leaves his wife and gets a new girlfriend, and then he almost kills her just from beating the hell out of her. Do you have any recollection of this?
No.
Dude, John Ritter as a abusive husband is the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. It was a terrible movie. Don't ever watch it.
Huh.
But
I loved John Ritter.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. It was weird because John Ritter was always like a happy guy.
Yeah.
So when you're watching it, like it almost kind of feels like he's joking the whole time. But then he like beats the hell out of his wife, and he wasn't joking.
Drew Gobble live with John Setting. Who are you? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Eric.
Eric, okay or not okay to ban people from coming to your funeral?
Absolutely okay. I have been a funeral director for close to 40 years and seen some things happen at funerals that shouldn't happen. And I've actually had people, families ask me to have other people leave just so they didn't cause any issues. I've had security arranged at the funeral home to keep people away.
Wow. Oh,
so you're still in the funeral industry?
Yes, sir.
How do you do it? I think it's one of the most astonishing things on planet Earth, those that go to work every day in the depths of death and being around people that are having their worst moment ever every single day. How do you keep it together?
Sometimes it's not easy, especially if it's people that you know, especially my family. I mean, I've taken care of family members, close friends. So it's not always easy. It's always got your good days and bad days. But I've been working in funeral homes since I was 14, and I'll be 57. So damn, this is all I know.
Wow.
Yeah, recession-proof industry too, right?
Yeah. Do you get that a lot? Yes, sir.
Do you actually do the embalming and such?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Wow,
man,
that is something else. I feel like just like the nurses and doc, just so many other people that we talk about, you have to be born for it.
Yeah.
I think that is that what you do is the same thing. I think so many people could never make it a day, and the fact that you've made a life out of it, you're there when people need you, buddy.
Yeah, I know it sounds strange, but I wanted to do this since I was 8. So
wow.
I'm going to ask you a very difficult question to answer, and I hope it doesn't offend you. How do you set a fair price point on a, like, say, a child's funeral? Like, you've obviously got to make money, right? You've got to make a profit. But how do you set a fair price point for the funeral of a child where you feel okay about it without feeling like you're gouging a family at their worst moment?
Well, usually what we do is all services that the family wants, we don't charge for that. But anything like merchandise, whether it's an urn or a casket, we give that to them at cost.
Wow. Okay. That's very impressive.
So I'm sorry. Are you saying that's just for the death of a child?
Yeah, pretty much if it's an infant or a child, depending on the circumstances, you know, I don't want to say all funeral homes have that policy. I know where I work, we do that for families because they've been through so much already. There's no reason to make it any more difficult.
Man, that's very admirable, sir.
It is. And do you work a lot of times? I know these are family operations. Do you work with other people within your family? And then if not, do you have a spouse at home?
Yes, I have a wife at home that I was a funeral director when we met. So she understands the time and that I put into it. Unfortunately, the funeral home I did work for was family owned, but now it's corporate owned. So it's not something I enjoy, because their beliefs are different than mine.
Yeah.
But as long as I can continue to care for the families and do what I need to do, that's my main thing.
It's interesting when you think about the spouse of somebody who works in that industry as well, because, I mean, will you come home? And, I mean, obviously you're taking the brunt of the trauma and the things, sure, that you see every day, but will you go home and have open conversations about what has happened in your day with your wife?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to. I mean, you have to vent and just get it off. And but, yeah, I mean, she listens, and so, yeah, she's been very supportive. And like I said, I mean, when we met, this is what I was doing, and so she understands completely. And there's been a lot of times we go on vacation, and it never fails. I get a phone call, family member, someone that I've taken care of in the past has called my cell phone or calls me directly, and then I just, you know, a lot of them will wait till I come back from vacation to take care of their family member. So right, it means a lot to me. And, you know, I can never just, I know some people can detach from their job. And I know there's, you know, in the industry that do that, I can't. I mean, it's 24/7 for me.
Right on. Oh, man. Sounds like you're in it for the right reason and doing it the right way, my man. Thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate the insight very much.
Appreciate it, and I enjoy your your radio show as well.
Thank you,
buddy. Dude, that's crazy.
It is.
I can't even, and that's the thing. It's not to draw a parallel to the foot fetish, but it's like for the people that aren't into feet, it's the same thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
To try and comprehend waking up every day to be with people at the worst moment in their life, and that's not even mentioning the actual things that you do with your hands and you see with your eyes every single day. And to, I don't know how you do it. You think you're born with it?
Yeah. I think you're either born into it or you're born, like he knew since he was eight. You know, you know that that's what you want to do. You watch 6 Feet Under, right?
No.
Very fascinating show. I'm only in season two, but it's Dexter.
Yeah, yeah. And, is he a funeral director?
Yeah. His family is in the funeral directing business, and like a lot of that stuff that we talked about with him, that comes into play about a corporation trying to buy up all the mom and pop. It's
what a crazy business to be in.
Drew Graba live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, it's Matt.
Matt, okay or not okay to ban people from coming to your funeral?
I'll say it's okay for celebrities. I'll say it's not okay for family members.
Interesting. Oh. So let's say you had a feud with somebody your entire life and, you know, that you're about to pass. You don't think you're okay to go, look, I don't want Aunt Gladys at my funeral. She was a bitch to me.
And I understand that 100%. But at the funeral, you're dead, right? And so other people are mourning for you. So you don't know who Aunt Gladys, you know, for example, could have meant to your brother,
right,
or to your sister. And they're mourning. And maybe them seeing Aunt Gladys helps them get over your loss and, you know, having them there.
You just put into words what I was unsuccessfully trying to say, which is that the funeral is for the living. And if it helps your relatives, even though you might have had beef with Aunt Gladys or Uncle Horace or whomever, if it helps everyone else around you get their head around what's happening and heal a little bit, I think you owe it to everybody to allow that person at your funeral. Yeah?
Yes, 100%.
Right on, man. Thank you. He said what I was trying to say.
Man, yeah.
Shannon Doherty, though, she had people she did not want at her funeral. Anybody can come to mind. I will tell you right now, bus hits me tomorrow. Open door. Everybody and anybody who wants to come. You know, I'd
everybody?
Like everybody.
Tony Two Slice?
Yep. If it makes him feel better about it, even if he's there going, ha ha ha, eh, one nut, I told you that cancer would get you. Well, it's actually a bus.
But what if he's there and he's like putting on a whole weepy show and he's like, oh, you know, it was always just jokes with us.
Yep.
We had a real good, it's all fake.
Yep. If that makes him feel better, if he can do that and feel awesome about it.
At the cost of your dead body.
At the cost of him. I'm already dead. What do I care?
Yeah, but what if you're like floating around? You never know. Like, what if you're floating around in there and you're like, hey, what's everybody doing? Oh, this son of a bitch.
I'll contact my son from beyond the grave and have him kick Tony's ass.
That would be cool. I'd like to see that. Like a spinning roundhouse kick just right at the altar.
Yeah.
You call it an altar at a funeral?
I don't know. I don't know what you call it at the funeral. I think it's an altar is an altar.
An altar don't change based on the event.
Drew Gobble Live with John Senning. Who are you?
What's going on, guys? Everett.
Everett! What's up, dog?
What's happening?
Everything's good, dude. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, I don't think it's okay. I mean, you're dead. Who cares? But you guys literally made me come up with something. I might try to use it as a bit. But for my funeral, I think I'm going to invite all the people that hate me, probably a lot of Billy Madison fans. For the first 30 minutes, they'll be the only ones in the room, and I'll give them a microphone. They can say whatever they want about me.
Oh, like a roast.
Yeah, a roast from beyond the grave.
Yeah, and then I'm going to shuffle them into another room with free food and alcohol, and then the people that do love me will come in and pay their respects for 30 minutes. The last 30 minutes, they're going to watch the video of the people before that. When that video's over, the doors open up, and there's the people that were just talking about.
Dude, that's
and then,
great.
Then you're just going to have an Everett-based war right there in the funeral home. There's something to be said for that.
It's beautiful.
I think you're onto something.
What if you do a roast and toast where you're going to be cremated, and then before that happens...
Oh, dude, that's fun.
They roast you, but then they toast you.
That's fun.
That's what I'll call it. You got it, well, Drew.
What are you doing? Where's your next gig, dude?
I'm actually just about to get to Sunshine right now. That's just the open mic, but I got a showcase at a Big Top Brewery in Lakewood Ranch tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Nice.
For
the
show for anybody.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hey, I'm sorry for not knowing. Did you already do the movie festival?
Yeah, man. That was an interesting experience. I did 15 minutes it was in a movie theater. After these people are watching short films.
Oh,
and I'm just standing in the front of the movie theater with all these people in front of me with no microphone.
What?
The guy that was bringing me up standing there, and I see he doesn't have a mic, but I'm like, he's surely going to pull a mic out of his back pocket for me, right?
Oh, man.
Oh,
nope.
No.
Oh, dude. How many people were in the room?
Oh, man, I would say like 40, 50. I'm not even sure. I was so confused what was going on. I did good. I got some good compliments. I might even be able to. This one dude approached me to put on a show. He works for a TV station. He has a venue with 200 people. That can fill up 200 people. So I just got to get some comics together. So I might be putting on my own show.
Hell, you need to make sure you put it in your rider. Please have microphone.
I feel like experiences like that have to make me better.
I would think so.
What do you do with your hands if you're doing stand-up and you don't have
a
microphone? Like, I would feel so weird with my hands just being all out there.
Yeah, if you watch the video, you know how, like, Italian people, when they talk, we got our hands all over the place, and that's what I was doing. Look, I was swatting flies away from me.
You are the man. Appreciate you, Everett. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother.
Dude, that's crazy.
The roast and toast.
Imagine you're doing stand-up and you find up seconds before you're about to go on that you have no microphone. Like, what are you if you're doing stand-up without a microphone?
Yeah,
it's like
not
your
a
only thing.
Comedian. Yeah. When I did that thing at the Commodore, there were like maybe 10 people there, but I still like, you know, I guess I didn't really need a microphone.
Still, it's more about the principle.
Right. Sure glad I had one. Thank you, Clark. Drew Gobble Live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, this is Josh.
Josh, okay or not okay to ban people from coming to your funeral?
Wow, well, it's kind of funny. I think it's not okay because my stepdad actually banned my ex-wife coming for
Stepdad banned your ex-wife. Oh, so while you were married, her stepdad did not want her coming to the funeral.
Well, it sounds like he was onto something if you divorced her ass.
Well, he might have been onto something, but it was my stepdad and she was not allowed.
That'd be awkward.
Which then in turn meant the kids couldn't go, which in turn meant I couldn't go.
Oh no! Man, what was the beef? In like the
30 seconds
or
less.
Well, he was an a-hole, to put it in terms I can use on the radio.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
Well, then why'd you want to go?
Right. Why would you want to say goodbye to an a-hole? That's very insightful.
It was. That was really good. Dude, are you seeing it just all of a sudden filled my timeline? Are you seeing that sign that supposedly that computer generated image of the bullet and Trump's head and everything? Mm-hmm. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Insane. Insane. Like they like took the video and then applied like a scientific video capability where like grids his whole head with the trajectory of the bullet, and you see right when he turned his head and how I didn't realize the bullet was coming from in front of him.
Oh, I didn't either.
Yeah, I thought it was coming from behind him.
Me too.
It was coming from in front of him, and they have it just the second he turned his head. It's insane to see.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.